message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
We're going to go to the book of Ephesians. The first 21 verses of chapter 5 in Ephesians, the first 7 verses, focus on walking in light. And you can find those very words in verse 2, walk in the light. In the next 7 verses, I'm sorry, walk in love. The next 7 verses is walk in light. And then the next 7 verses is walk in wisdom. That's 3 good things for us. Walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. And we're going to focus on that third part, walking in wisdom. And I'm going to go to verse 17, chapter 5, verse 17 in Ephesians. It says, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Has anybody ever been unwise? Yeah, me too. Well, the Bible says here, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, that word unwise, some of you will have a translation, and they'll use the word foolish. Don't be foolish. And if you go to the original language, that's one of the definitions given. Here are some other definitions. Don't be senseless. Don't be without intelligence. Don't act rashly. And then I like this one here, stupid. Don't be stupid. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be stupid. Anybody been stupid? Yeah. Well, don't be stupid. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I want to go back to a couple of weeks. Last week, we were absent. Teen Challenge was here. Gary and Rachel, thank you. And tell the girls, the ladies, thank you for everything and for being here. I did get to take part in the service through audio, but heard it was a great service, so thank you for that. So I'm going to go back to the week before that. I preached a message. I called it, You Have a Say. You have a say. In other words, your life is not mapped out for you. It's already laid out, and you're just going through the motions in a mindless kind of a way, and you just end up wherever you end up. No, your choices matter. You have a say. And what you say determines a lot of what happens to you. Your choices are mapping out your future. And we talked about Calvinism, Arminianism. We lean towards Arminianism. We are not Calvinistic. Calvinism deals with the sovereignty of God, yet we do believe God is sovereign. But Arminianism focuses on the responsibility of man. You have a part to play. I want to put something back on the screen that we looked at 2 weeks ago, because there's degrees of Calvinism. And I want to look at Calvinism in the extreme degree. I have this book upstairs in my office. I can turn to page 25. That is the page number this quote is on. I've taken it right out of this book, taught by a Calvinist, and this is what they say right here on the screen for you. Nothing in this world happens by chance. God is in back of everything. He decides and causes all things to happen that do happen. He is not sitting on the sidelines wondering and perhaps fearing what is going on or what's going to happen next. No, he has foreordained everything after the counsel of his will. And here's a few examples. The moving of a finger, the beating of a heart, the laughter of a girl, the mistake of a typist, even sin. So not that God just allows everything, but God causes everything. What do I mean by everything? Well, what they mean by everything is everything. Nothing happens by chance. God is in back of everything. And notice the last two words, even sin. So the sin that goes on, the evil that takes place because of the sin that goes on, God causes. We don't embrace that. So there are some out there saying the devil made me do it, but there's another group out there saying, well, God made me do it. So all of the horrible things taking place, when you watched the news last night and you saw the bad reports and the bad things that were going on, the murders and everything else, according to this guy and a group, those of the extreme Calvinistic persuasion, God caused all of it. There was a headline yesterday. I get you know, over 100 emails every day, and I wish I wouldn't, and I go through and I delete them, and sometimes I'm just reading the headlines and deleting, and I caught the headline of an article, so I clicked on it, and I opened it up, I read the article, but here's the headline. A woman arrested after leaving two children in a car that caught fire as she allegedly shoplifted, police say. So that's the headline. The woman was 24 years old. She left her two kids, 2 and 4 years old, in the car while she went into the store to shoplift. That's a different kind of shopping. While she's in there, the car caught on fire. They found later there was a container labeled in the trunk, labeled flammable gas. Not a good idea. Caught on fire. The children did survive, but they are in critical condition. But here's the thing I want to point out. If this guy is true, this is what he believes.
God did that.
Yes, God did that. Exactly. God caused the woman to shoplift. She didn't want to, but he did. And while he was in there, he thought, you know what? I'm going to cause her to leave the kids in the car so I can burn the car and hurt the kids. God caused all of that. God ordained all of that. Now, the Calvinists would say, it's not for you to understand these things. God's ways are higher than our ways. Isaiah 55 does say that God's ways are higher than our ways. And I don't have time to go down that road, but on Wednesday night, we have tackled that in depth. That is taken out of context greatly. Listen. God's ways are above your ways, but you've been given the mind of Christ and the Spirit of God so that you can tap into His ways. See, we live down here, God thinks up here, and we are to come up and think like God thinks. So yes, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He's wiser than we are. His ways are higher than us. But that doesn't mean that we're just down here just being controlled like a bunch of robots and God is killing some people and helping some people go to hell and some go to heaven. He just chooses everything. All of the sexual confusion going on in the world right now, God caused that. Even though the Bible says He's not the author of confusion, God has caused all that confusion. It used to be that we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Now we got to determine later if maybe God made a mistake, because apparently God has made a lot of mistakes with people, and people of one gender are born in the wrong bodies, and they're having to go fix that. So God apparently does make mistakes. No, I'm telling you is that man has a part to play. You have a say. And you can say yes or no, and you can choose right or wrong, and you can choose to serve the Lord, or you can choose to serve yourself. You can choose to obey the law. You can choose to disobey the law. God's not choosing some to run red lights and others to stop at the green light and just text while it's sitting there green. That's just a frustration that came out. So I want to give you, I want to kind of revisit that a little bit, but built off of the scripture right here. Do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will. In other words, the way, the preference. Understand what the preference of the Lord is. Understand His way of doing things. So, first point is this. We can take it from this verse right here. There is God's will, there is free will. As Arminians, we believe that we have free will. We have a choice. And we can choose good or bad, right or wrong. So there is God's will, there is free will. There is God's way of doing things, and then there is your way of doing things, or man's way of doing things. Title of the message is Yahweh or Your Way. Yahweh is the Hebrew name for God. So we can go with Yahweh, or you can go with your way. And the Bible says, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, go with Yahweh.
That's right. Amen.
So two parts on this. Number one, there's God's will. Number two, there is free will. Let's talk about God's will. There's many scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about God's will. Let me give you just a few. Mark 3:35, Jesus says that whoever does the will of God is his brother, sister, and mother. So there is a will of God. Peter tells us it's not God's will that any should perish. In Thessalonians, it says the will of God is to avoid sexual immorality. Ephesians says, do the will of God from the heart. In John 4, Jesus said this, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus prayed that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I could go on and on with a number of verses that talk about the will of God or the Lord's will. See, if God didn't have a will for you, it would kind of show that he didn't really care. Because boundaries are about love and caring and protection. Good parenting includes boundaries. Do I need to take a bath, Mom? No, only if you want to. When do I go to sleep? Whenever you want to. It's freedom here in this house, baby. It's all free. Can I spend whatever you want to do? There's no boundaries. Sleep when you want to. Am I going to school? Don't care. It's up to you. No, good parenting includes boundaries. And God is a good parent. He's a good father. And so there are boundaries. If he didn't have a will, in other words, this is my will for you. But he's not going to force his will for you on you. Because of the second part of this, there is free will. So there's God's will, then there's free will. And there's two extremes. Some say, you know, God causes everything. We looked at that sentence or that statement up there, that paragraph. God causes everything. And then others say that God has nothing to do with anything. That's another extreme. God is very much involved, and God does foreordain things, and God is sovereign, and God is in control. He's not controlling everything, but he's in control. So here's an extreme. Calvinism extreme is this. Everything that happens is God's will. Because if God causes everything to happen, he must have wanted it to happen. If he didn't want it to happen, why would he make it happen? He is God. He has all power. So everything that's going on must be God's will. So the woman who shoplifted from the store, probably Target, probably getting, never mind. It was the will of God for her to steal, even though in the Ten Commandments it says, thou shalt not steal. It was the will of God for her car to catch on fire and for these innocent babies to burn because of her neglect. It's the will of God for rape to take place. It's the will of God for children to be molested because everything that happens, God causes to happen, and everything that happens is his will. No, that's an extreme. Que sera, sera, y'all remember that one? Whatever will be, will be. God is sovereign and he does what he wants. No, man has a free will and you can choose to do what God would have you to do, or you can choose against that. Let me just suggest, not only is not everything going on God's will, I would suggest to you that most everything going on is not his will. I would suggest that his will is being done less then it isn't being done. Did that come out right? Don't know. I just gave you the one article that I read from yesterday. But if we were to go and look at the headlines of this past week, how many people were murdered, women raped, children molested, somebody's driving intoxicated under the influence, running over innocent people, and people are losing their loved ones because of stupidity and neglect and evil, and yet God's behind all of that, according to some. No. This is free will, out of control. See, God is in control, but that doesn't mean that God controls everything. If I get in my car, I'm in control no matter what my wife thinks. And I'm driving, and I'm in control. Now, there's other cars. We were on a road trip not too long ago, and we're driving along, and man, one flew up going about 25 miles an hour faster than me, so he's going about 150. And I swerved to get out of the way. And as I swerved, another one went on the other side. They were doing something together on the road. It was a dangerous situation. And so I'm in control. There's other things going on outside the car, on the road, and everywhere else that's out of control. But I'm still in control. And I'm responding to the out of control around me. God is in control. And he will respond to the out of control. The world is out of control. But God is in control. But God's not controlling everything. God's not making this person do that and this person do that. God is just responding to all of our wrongdoing. God is responding to all of our stupid stuff. God is not caught off guard. He is in control. Just because God allows something doesn't mean he wanted it to happen. Some of you parents have allowed your children because they grew up. I mean, as a little one, you kind of exercise your will over them. But as they get older, you have to loosen the reins a little bit. And you have to allow your kids to grow up and to make their own choices. You've trained them in the way they should go. You've taught them right for wrong. But now you've got to let go and see what they're going to do. If they're 24, you can't be telling them what time to go to bed. You don't call them at their house. Hey, just checking on you. Are you tired? Yeah, you need to get some sleep. Go to bed. What time do you want me to call you in the morning and wake you up? No, as we grow up and we take on responsibilities and things like that. But just because God allows something to happen doesn't mean he wanted it to happen. So just because your child did something you may not have approved, but you couldn't stop it because they have a free will, it doesn't mean you wanted it to happen. You wished it hadn't happened. You wished your child hadn't made that choice, but yet they did make that choice. But that doesn't mean that you agree with that choice. So just because all this is going on, because God allows it, doesn't mean he wanted it to happen. At the same time, God can take whatever happens, put a spin on it, and use it for his glory and for his purposes and even for your good. I've shared this before in another message, some of the stupid things said at funerals. A child dies, and the preacher gets up and says that God needed this little rose in his heavenly garden, his heavenly flower garden. So he plucked up this little rose, this little girl here, this little darling, and put her in his own little garden up there. And that's supposed to bring comfort. There's nothing comforting about that. Number one, he's the creator of all things. If he needs a rose in his garden up there in heaven, I don't even know about this heavenly garden, but if he needs a rose, I'm thinking he can make one. I'm thinking he doesn't need to come down and take my little girl to have that rose up there. No, that's just preachers saying things to make people think that. If you don't know, here's a good answer. I don't know. Why did this happen, Pastor? I don't know. Why would God allow such a thing? I don't know. Now, I have an answer, but it doesn't fix things. The answer is we live in a broken world. How about this one? You're at the funeral. Maybe your teenage child has died tragically in a car wreck. And the pastor gets up and says, everything happens for a reason. Did that bring you comfort? Is it true? Some of you don't know what to say there, do you? Yeah, it happened for a reason. It happened because somebody was drunk and out of control. It happened because somebody chose wrong. It happened for reasons that we caused, but it didn't happen because God wanted it to happen. Now, God can put reason into it, but everything doesn't happen for a reason. The grieving person does not. You know what they hear? If I get up and say everything happens for a reason, you know what the parents of that child just heard? God did this. God calls this. If you don't have an answer, don't make up an answer. Well, why do bad things happen to good people? That question has been around a long time. I'm going to tell you why it happens. Because of a devil and free will. Free will is very, very wonderful and also can be quite sobering. Because somebody can use their free will to bring tragedy in somebody else's life. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Whenever destruction is going on, instead of blaming God, remember that verse, the devil, he came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So when you see destruction, who came to bring destruction? When you see killing and stealing going, who came to bring that? The enemy. There's an enemy, and there's a God. Folks, when it's all said and done, we go to heaven and it's all wonderful. But down here, there is the choice of man that is messing things up because of people who don't know God, don't love God, and they choose against God. Now, Ephesians 5:17, again, it's up on the screen for you. Let me give you another translation. New Living Translation says it this way. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Another version says, don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out whatever the Lord wants you to. Try to find out and do whatever the Lord wants you to do. Here's the second point. It's not God's will for His will to be unknown. It's not God's will for His will for you to be a mystery. Well, God's will, whatever that may be, let's talk about what God's will is. See, God's will for you is not automatic. Everything going on is not His will. It's not automatic, but it's not intended to be a mystery or to be unsolvable, unknown. How do you know God's will for your life? How do you know what God would have you to do? What is God's will for my life? I can't give you the details. You're to be a doctor. You're to be this. You're to be that. You're going to have to find that out. But let me give you the will of God for our lives. How do you come to know that? Well, number one, you got to change the way you think. Because God's thoughts are up here. Man's thoughts are down here. If you want to do the will of God, you've got to tap into His thoughts, and they're up here. So how do you do that? Well, the Bible says we got to renew our mind. We got to get into His Word. We got to let His Word get into us. See, I want to be first. But the Bible says the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The Bible says prefer your brother over yourself. So I got to start thinking and living up here. That's the will of God. The will of God is found in two places, the Word of God and the voice of God. So if you want to do His will, you got to get into the Word and you got to hear His voice. So that's the Word of God and prayer. It goes right back to the Word of God and prayer so that you can learn to think like God thinks. Husbands and wives, after they've been married for a while, they learn how each other think. They can complete each other's sentences. Right? How do you know that? Well, you've been married to him for 40 years. So when he says, honey, would you? You already know it's coming. Yeah. Why? I've been spending time with him and I know how his brain works. When you spend time with the Father, you start knowing how he works, how he operates. Your children will start, they start learning how you think, and you know how they think. It's happened some time back. Michaela was a lot younger, but Michaela and Teresa were at the store. I don't know which store it was, but had a lot of candles. You know, you're smelling all the candles after a while. I don't know how, it's just all confusion, just a bunch of smells. But they smelled a candle, Michaela did, and it was a smell of homemade apple pie. And she said this to her mother, well, we can't get this one. Dad wouldn't like it. And she's right. Now you're thinking, so why don't you like the smell of candles that smell like apple pie? Well, I have a rule. There can be no candles burning in the house that smell like food. Right. Unless you got that very food in the oven to come out. Don't get my nose all moving, you know, and now I'm thinking apple pie. And I go, oh, when's that pie going to be ready? Oh, it's a candle. What? Can't eat a candle. But how did Michaela know? She'd been hanging around me. She's heard me say that. You know, I've heard God say some things. When you read your Bible, that's God talking to you. Love your enemy. I heard God say that. I don't think like that. I think down here, get even with your enemy. God says, turn the other cheek. Forgive. Vengeance is mine. We can live down here or we can live up here. God's will is found by getting up here. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His will are found in the way that he thinks. And the way that he thinks is found in his voice and in his word. See, this is why older married couples, they don't have to talk a lot. They can sit on the porch, rock in the chair, drink their tea, not say a word. And everything's wonderful. She doesn't look at him and go, what's wrong? What do you mean, what's wrong? Well, you're not saying anything. No, she doesn't. They've said it all. They're just in each other's company and all is good. Now, a younger couple, you got to talk. But after a while, you learn how each other thinks, and there's comfort in the present. So we learn how God thinks. Now, the world has a certain way of thinking, and it's in opposition to God's way of thinking. The problem is that too many in the church are thinking just like the world and not like God. And so now we have churches that are confused on how God thinks. Churches that are confused on what is the will of God. Well, is it the will of God for two of the same sex to be married? Well, you can love those people, but is it the will of God? Well, not according to his book, not according to what he said. I didn't even want to go down these roads, but we're just coming into such a time and such an era, church, you're going to have to make up your mind. Is God's word God's word or not? Because if you want God's will, because I've had many people come up for prayer, I just need to know God's will. Well, if you want to know his will, you're going to have to think like he thinks. You're going to have to renew your mind. See, the world thinks away, God thinks away. Here you are. You want to renew your mind and think like God? Or are you just going to be a churchgoer, never read, never pray, and just drift like the culture drifts? I'm off target. Let's go back. God's will is found within his book and his voice. His book gives us his will for all people. His voice gives us his will for individuals. Let me give you just a couple of examples from the book. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Said it right out. This is the will of God. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. Abstain from fornication, for this is the will of God. Fornication, that includes homosexuality, adultery, sex before marriage. What else has happened because of fornication? Broken families because of fornications, abortion because of fornication, STDs because of fornication, low self-worth because of fornication, early death because of fornication, because that's man's way of doing things. God's way is up of here. The will of God is abstain from that. I just want God's will. Not everybody really does. See, it's either Yahweh or your way, and your way is probably more fun sometimes. If God's will is always a mystery, what's the point? If God, it's not God's will for his will to be unknown. If God's will is a mystery, it's always a mystery, then we're going to be praying continually what I call the safety clause. You know what the safety clause is? Father, your will be done. Well, Jesus prayed that. Yes, he did. But he didn't pray that not knowing what the will of God was. He knew what God's will for his life was. When Jesus prayed that, he wasn't saying, just do whatever you're going to do. Jesus was saying, I know what you want me to do. And my flesh is having a hard time at the humanity side of me. But I'm telling you, I'm going to embrace your will. It's the hard thing. But you know what? Your will be done. I want to do this. Your way is in my face. I want to do this, but Yahweh says this, and I'm battling right now, and I'm saying, nevertheless, your will be done. He wasn't praying, your will be done, as if I don't even know what that is. Jesus said, for this cause and for this reason, I came. He knew exactly what the will of God for his life was, but it wasn't always easy to embrace, and the will of God for your life will not always be easy to embrace. If you just go around with God's will is a mystery, nobody knows, so God, whatever your will be done, just do that, and then bad things start happening, you go, well, I guess that was God's will. No, not everything going on in the world is God's will. Here's an example. Lord, if it be, you're praying for your friend, his name is Johnny. Lord, if it be your will, save Johnny. What's wrong with that prayer? God's not willing that any should perish. That includes Johnny. So the prayer isn't, God, if it be your will, save Johnny. The prayer is, God, I come to you for Johnny. I know that you love Johnny and you don't want Johnny to perish. And I don't want him to perish. So God, I'm praying for Johnny's salvation in the name of Jesus. We pray better when we know his word, because we're praying in his will. Lord, here's a prayer. Lord, if it be your will, help me to love people. Oh, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it. I understand people are tough. Lord, I've decided on an abortion. If it's not your will, stop me. Lord, give me a sign. The Bible is your sign. That's his will. It's in the book. So, if God's will is some big mystery, you just pray, hey, your will be done, whatever that may be. Or you understand what his will is and you pray in line with that.
Amen.
And you come against some things and you declare some things and you grab hold of some things. So the first step, you got to find and follow and fulfill God's will. And the first step is to change the way you think. Renew your mind and get the mind of Christ. Amen. Listen, it doesn't matter what you think when it comes to an issue that God has already spoken about. If God has already addressed something and it's clear, that's settled. Yeah, but I think it doesn't matter what you think. But it matters in the sense that if you just continue to follow what you think, you're not being wise. Don't be unwise. Embrace his will. Next to the last point. Next point. God's will is your best choice. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Not on the screen, but listen to this. Paul said this. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Did you catch that? We've been praying for you continually, and here's what we're praying, that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will, that you may live a life that would glorify and please him. See, when you live according to his will, you glorify and please him. Paul is praying that they be filled with the knowledge of his will because it's not intended for his will to be a mystery. Now, here's the thing. His will is not the only choice, and it's not necessarily the easy choice. The right thing is not often the easy thing. Your way is often the easy thing. Yahweh is not. God is smarter than you. God sees around the corner. And you do yourself a favor when you listen and heed his instruction. Some of you don't really want God's will. Because your way is a good way. It feels good. And some of you, you're thinking maybe God would trick you and lead you into something that's not really something you want to do. And, you know, God's will is kind of like, it's like food. If the food tastes good, it's not good for you. But if the food tastes, you know, not so good, then it's nutritious and healthy. Does it seem to work that way for you guys? Yes. And so God's will is kind of like that. If God's will feels, if something feels good, well, that's not God's will. If it doesn't feel so wonderful, that's God. No. God's will is your best choice. So we see our will, our way, as chocolate cake. God's will is that green vegetable that we're forced to eat. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. As you begin to delight yourself in him, he's going to cause your heart to long after the things that he wants. And you're going to find yourself liking the green vegetable. And not so much liking the sweet stuff because your heart is shifting. But here's the thing. You can't just not delight yourself in the Lord and then do the Lord's will. It's going to be an uphill climb the whole way. You've got to work on your relationship with the Lord so that your heart is in line with his heart. And all of a sudden, his will is easier to embrace. Last point. Free will often gets in the way of God's will. If we're going to embrace free will like we do, we say that man has free will, then we've got to acknowledge something. We're going to have to acknowledge that we make mistakes. See, we like to think that, yes, we believe in free will, and then we make these horrible mistakes, and we get down here, and we look back and say, well, I did my best, and God, that was part of God's plan. So we get back here, we made bad choices, then all of a sudden we throw the Calvinistic card because we don't want to take responsibility. We don't want to feel guilty for our... Listen, we make wrong choices. We make bad choices. We make mistakes. Let me just give you one example. Adultery is a huge mistake. On top of that, it is a sin. But it's a huge mistake in the sense because I've seen it. You've seen it. I've dealt with people who have gotten there, and after the fun part is over, all of a sudden there is a mess. They were both married. There were kids on both sides. And now there's divorce happening and kids are hurting and there's pain. See, God didn't cause that. You did that. Your free will. No, I just think, see, it's really easy to embrace Calvinism whenever you're doing wrong. Because now either the devil made you do it or God made you do it. But hey, I didn't do it. No, you did it. It was your decision. It was your choice. You have free will, and you weren't wise. You didn't understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is to be faithful to your husband, to be faithful to your wife. That's the will of the Lord. That's Yahweh. But you did it your way, and you were unfaithful, and now there's pain and brokenness and divorce and everything else. There's a tragedy. There's a mess. You're going to have to acknowledge my free will got in the way of God's will. Now, the good news is, if you repent, God can help you from where you are. He'll help you with your mess, but it won't undo everything, will it? All right, let's land the plane here. Why, if free will can get in the way of God's will, if free will can mess things up, if free will has the ability to bring tremendous hurt and pain and ruin, if free will can do all of that, why would God allow it? Why wouldn't God just be responsible for everything? That way, if some brokenness happens, hey, I didn't do it, God did it. Why allow free will if it thwarts God's will? Because here's the thing. When you remove free will, you remove the ability to choose. You remove choice. And when you remove choice, you remove authentic love. It's been 35 years next month, Teresa and I have been married. 35 years she's put up with me. Back when I asked her to marry me, obviously she said yes. When she said yes, I was thrilled. But if I'd have known she was going to say yes because she had to say yes, if there was some unwritten rule and I knew the rule was that the first person to ask her, she's going to say yes because she has to, and I'm like, nobody's asked her, I'm just going to ask her, hey, you want to marry me? I'm the first one. She says yes. I'm not excited about that. She had to say yes. If she has to say yes, there's no love. But if she has the ability to say no, if she has a choice and then she chooses me, now there's love. See, when you lose choice, you lose love. When you lose free will, you lose choice. When you lose choice, you lose love. So why does God allow free will, even though free will can cause hurt and pain and destruction and ruin? God allows it because without free will, there is no choice. And without choice, there is no love. And God wants us to love Him, and He loves us. Amen. When you go to the very beginning, back to the Garden of Eden, where the woman messed up. I'm just going to leave it there. There were trees in that garden. We don't know how many trees. But God said you can have the fruit of all of the trees. Except one. Why didn't He just say you can have all the trees and just call it done? The one tree introduced choice. The one tree made choice possible. If that one tree hadn't been there, there'd have been no room to disobey God. There'd have been no room to say no. There'd have been no room to make a wrong choice. But as soon as God put one tree, even though there might have been hundreds of others, just leave the one tree alone, now we have choice. Now you can choose to disobey or obey. Now you can choose yes or no. Now you can follow me or not follow me. Now you can do it your way or you can do it Yahweh. If there is no one tree, it's Yahweh all the way. But if there's one tree, now your way has the potential to get in the way. There had to be that tree. There has to be the ability to choose. There has to be free will, because this whole thing is about love. And you can't have love without free will. So because there is love, there is evil. Because the same free will that can choose love can choose evil. What do we do with that? Well, don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. Don't act rashly. Don't be thoughtless. Don't be senseless. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Embrace His way of doing things. Father God, I pray in Jesus' name for every one of us here, everyone watching. Lord, I pray that as we face different decisions and choices every day, that you give us the wisdom we need to choose well. God, I pray that we would embrace your will, even when it's not easy. When it's tough, help us to do what's right anyway. Help us to trust you with what's up the road and to trust you in the hard moment of hard decision. Father, for some that are standing here right now that are facing some decisions and choices right now, maybe that are huge, and they're wondering which way, left or right, yes or no. Father, I pray that you give them wisdom from above. I pray that you give them supernatural, divine wisdom. I pray that they would have the mind of Christ. And I pray that you would fill them with the knowledge of your will for this moment. Father, help us to choose that we might glorify you in a better way, help ourselves in a better way, and serve others around us in a better way. Help us to not be unwise, but to be wise and to embrace your way of doing life. I pray for strength and wisdom for everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.